back to the EAA Welcome Center tent on Celebration Way for more EAA Radio Live.
Welcome back. I'm Stuck Mike with EAA Radio, and we're talking with Farid Gio, who's the manager of electronic publications for EAA, Tom Haynes, the editor-in-chief of AOPA Pilot, and Jeb Bernstein, who's the editor-in-chief of Aviation Safety Magazine. And so, Jeb, this one's yours. It's already been acknowledged up here.
No.
So the topic is GA safety. And just to allow us for a broad conversation, I'll ask the question this way. Is there an awakening going on about safety issues, or are we losing ground?
Neither one. We're treading water, is the best it can be stated. We've kind of tamped down the low-hanging fruit, to mix my metaphors. We've fixed a lot of the technical and mechanical things that can go wrong with an airplane. We've greatly improved the facilities, the airports, the navigation systems. The training systems can use some work. But what we haven't been able to really fix is the loose nut behind the wheel, the pilot. And what happens is, you know, airplanes are not falling out of the sky because the engine quits or because the electrical system fails or something like that. They're falling out of the sky and hitting things because pilots are letting those airplanes do those things. And we've got to somehow educate pilots or re-educate pilots to understand or perhaps remind them that some of the things that they might want to do in an airplane aren't the smartest things, and that they need to manage their risk and manage their decision making a lot better than they're doing now.
Tom?
I'd agree. I think we're picking off some of the low-hanging fruit. I mean, that with some technology, you know, terrain warning systems have helped really reduce the CFIT, controlled flight into terrain accidents and those sorts of things. We've got a lot more airborne traffic systems, so we have fewer mid-airs. That's certainly of significance, you know, significant ones with airliners, for example. But unfortunately, you know, the statistically, we're not making great strides. But I do think I get the sense, and I've got nothing to back this up other than just a feeling of talking with pilots and being out there, is that there is a bit of a cultural shift going on in that today's generation of pilots, and these are, I'm talking about people who are now in their 40s and 50s, as opposed to what might have been, you know, a previous generation or people coming right out of World War II, is that the notion of proficiency and recurrent training is becoming more and more accepted, and certainly the facilities and the ability to do that is becoming easier. I was heartened to hear just last week that SIMCOM is buying like 14 training programs from Flight Safety. Flight Safety decided, you know, they didn't want to kind of be in the propeller, essentially be in the propeller business, training business anymore, and SIMCOM has bought those, and I think SIMCOM is going to infuse a lot of perhaps some in marketing and promotion around those and upgrade the sims and whatnot and try to really promote that in a more cohesive kind of way. Our own success at the AOPA Foundation in our Safety Institute, the number of online courses that people take is up, and the attendance at our safety seminars is still very strong. And the other safety kind of mechanisms that we use to try to educate people about safety are doing very well. So it feels like maybe there's a little bit of a shift going on, and then hopefully over the next few years we'll begin to see that we can make a dent in some of the recurring and very frustrating safety statistics that we see.
And one other point, too, is if we look at the totality of general aviation, there's just a wide range of different operations. If we take out, for example, banner towing and agricultural aviation, and we take out Alaskan operations, and we take out some other things that are relatively high risk, and what we're left with, if we looked at that very closely, those operations are fairly safe. But they can be made much more safe, much safer. And that's the one of the key areas we need to be focusing on, and I think Tom's exactly right. I think there is kind of a reawakening or a greening of of safety awareness among various pilots. A lot of that comes about through much more modern, much greater technology in the average cockpit these days, and an awareness that if they use that technology and they figure out how it can best be utilized to help them efficiently and safely complete a flight, we're all going to be much better off.
Do we know enough yet that the technology is making a difference and that it's not distracting us from strong pilot skills?
That's a mixed bag. The NTSB a year or so ago came up with a report noting that glass panels really had not had an impact on general aviation safety. And as far as it went, that's true. I think you can argue it both ways. On one level, you can say, well, all this magic in this panel in front of me allows me to maybe skirt that thunderstorm more closely or maybe bust minima on my next approach or let the autopilot do it because I'm not really up to it today. And those are obviously higher risk decisions, higher risk operations than droning along in all smooth, clear day. But at the same time, that technology gives us more capability so we can do more things with that specific airplane. It's a trade-off, and as I say, it's a little bit of a mixed bag.
Fareed, you and I talked earlier about the fact that the statistics can say different things depending on how you slice them.
And we can focus a little bit on it, statistics in experimental category aircraft. It's going right back to the pilot. And yes, accident rates are up among experimental category aircraft. But the thing is that most of them are pilot error type aircraft than mechanical or design problems along those lines. And another way is also the counting of that. There's a little bit of debate about that because Gulfstream just had a crash in New Mexico, and that was an experimental category. But if you look at Gulfstream, you know that they produce aircraft. Most of their airplanes are in production category. But they had the accident, and so that's counted against the overall. However, there is still a responsibility among people who fly experimental category aircraft, especially those who haven't flown them before and are transitioning into them, to get the kind of instruction for that aircraft. And it kind of goes back to the VTOL doctor killer thing, where they're just in an airplane that they're not ready to handle from a pilot skill perspective, as opposed to it's because it's experimental. But that's one of the initiatives that the FAA and the EAA are working on, and trying to find ways to reduce that through a less regulatory way and change the culture. And I think training programs and technology will help that.
Yeah, the NTSB just earlier this month, I believe, announced a partnership with the EAA to look at experimental amateur-built safety. The EAA has put up a study on its website soliciting input from various members who both have built and or flown EAB aircraft. And the results so far, at least participation so far, has been pretty good. It's going to be another year or so before the NTSB gets around to completing its study. But I think, as others here have pointed out, I think the hardware side of that equation is reasonably settled. You still have the loosen up behind the wheel question, and not so much you got people running around who shouldn't be flying, but you have people who need some additional training. Sometimes there might not be an RV-6 or 7 available nearby, in which you can get some transition training when you're moving from your Skyhawk to your RV. And that's as critical a problem as we have.
So what's the best way, in your view, to tighten the nut behind the wheel?
Training and education.
Do we need to be doing it differently than we are now, or we just need to make it more important? Tom, you say we need to be doing it differently.
I don't have the answer to that, but yes, I do believe we need to do it differently, because we've been doing what we've been doing for a long time, and we've gotten to a certain extent. I mean, we've had dramatic improvements in safety over the last decades, but I think in order to take it to that next level, we're going to have to approach things differently. I think also we need to be willing to, for lack of a better term, use some profiling to identify people who exhibit bad characteristics and call them out on it and stop looking the other way and help them get training, because we're pretty good at preaching to the choir. I mean, people who come to safety seminars and take online courses and do proficient recurrent training are people who are prone to do that kind of thing. And unfortunately, the people who have accidents are often the ones that aren't prone to do those kinds of things. And it's figuring out who they are and making sure they get some assistance is the challenge.
Yeah, very.
I would just say enhance instead of reinvent as far as it comes to training and education for pilots and improving safety. Let's not go crazy. Let's just enhance what we're doing now, because it is working. And let's not reinvent it.
Yeah. You get to close the topic on safety, because that's your thing.
Well, I appreciate that. We've come a long way. If you look at the trend lines over the last 15, 20 years, with a couple of exceptions, it's been a steady downward angle on these bar charts and on these line charts. But while we've made successes and made achieved successes and made strides in that area, the rest of the world has made much greater strides in whether it's consumer safety or traffic safety or airline safety. You look at the airline industry, they haven't had a fatal in the U.S. in going on 2 years now. That's something that we'll never achieve, but it's also something that we should try to strive for. There's a lot more we can do. There's a lot more that needs to be done. The old saying, if we don't do it ourselves, someone's going to do it for us.
Yeah. Well, thank you all three again for, and Mac, I'll thank him even though he can't hear us right now. Mac McClellan, who was in our first segment of the Aviation Journalists Roundtable on EA Radio. Again, we've been talking with Tom Haynes, who's the editor-in-chief of AOPA Pilot and a senior vice president of AOPA. Jeb Burnside, who serves as the editor-in-chief of Aviation Safety Magazine and will be on EA Radio again Sunday morning at 9:30 as part of Uncontrolled Airspace, the General Aviation Podcast, which I'll go ahead and give the disclaimer now. There are some unjournalistic things that happen in that podcast, but you know, it's delightful.
I was very surprised to be asked to join you for this.
And didn't make you wear a tie either. And
fact.
Farid Gio, who's the manager of electronic publications for EAA, including the e-newsletters E-Hotline, Experimenter, Vintage Aircraft Online, and Aviation Insider, which you can subscribe to on EAA.org, the website. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you
for the invitation. Always good to be here.
And you're listening to EAA Radio Live.